Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County. With your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome 19-year pancreatic cancer survivor Roberta Luna. November is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. Roberta is the host and executive producer of the OC Talk Radio podcast, Living Hope, Your Journey with Pancreatic Cancer, which live streams Thursdays at 11 in the morning. She talks about her journey living with the deadly disease and how she's trying to bring awareness to the world's toughest cancer and raise money for pancreatic cancer research. She's also the mission chair for the Orange County affiliate of the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. Well, thank you, Roberta, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you for having me back again. It feels weird to be on this side now. So now I can feel how you felt, right?
Right on. Well, Roberta, please explain the story behind your diagnosis.
How much time do we have? I'll try to do a short narrative. It actually began when I was only 9 years old, but I didn't have a clue at that time. It was years later when my dad became ill. We were trying to find out what was going on with him. He was somebody who was never sick a day in his life that I remember. I never even remember him taking so much as an aspirin. He never missed a day of work for illness just when he was injured at a job. But other than that, he was always very healthy, very active. And to suddenly see him change was devastating and kind of mysterious to us because the symptoms he had, we weren't really clear on because unfortunately my dad wasn't a big complainer, so he didn't really share with us what was happening. It was when we were noticing some weight loss. And for my dad, March was my mom and dad's anniversary, and he always plans a takeaway, you know, to take her somewhere. And that 1 year, he wasn't feeling up to it and decided not to do anything. And that made us very suspicious and, you know, wondering what was going on. And we tried to talk him into going to a doctor. But sorry, guys, but for, you know, most men are very stubborn as far as going into a doctor. And we had difficulty getting him there. And finally, we convinced him there was some weight loss and he was having some pain in his abdomen that at first we contributed to a car accident he'd had when they were driving to the airport to come for the holidays. They hit some black ice and my dad hit the steering wheel and after that noticed some pain. So we contributed to that. So we kind of ignored it for a while and finally got to the point we could no longer ignore it. He finally went to the doctors. They did a bunch of tests starting with blood work and, you know, x-rays and all more invasive tests. They put a tube finally down his throat and went into the pancreas. And then, you know, they did a colonoscopy to see if there was anything going on there and just not really finding anything at first. And the symptoms kept getting worse. He kept losing weight and was just not looking well and just not his normal self. And finally, we were seeing a doctor and he said, well, I think I need to do some exploratory surgery because, you know, we need to see what's going on, and the tests just aren't coming up with much. So they went in, and the doctor said, this will probably take, you know, quite a few hours, so if you guys want to go home, feel free to go home, and we'll call you when it's over, and you can come back. And we just didn't want to leave the hospital. We wanted to stay there, so we stayed, and about 20 minutes later, we noticed he's coming out, and we thought, oh, well, maybe it wasn't so bad. You know, they were able to go in, find out what it was, and take care of it, and he sat down and he never really looked at us and looked at me in my eyes or my family, but he did take my hand and say, I'm sorry to tell you, but your dad has pancreatic cancer and it's all through him and there's nothing we can do. And we were like, but, you know, there's chemotherapy, surgery, there must be something. And he's telling us, you don't understand. This is the worst type of cancer there is out there. Nobody survives it. It's too far gone for us to do anything. So what you need to do is go home, put your dad's house in order, enjoy him for as long as you can, and, you know, just move on with life. So I think we were kind of curious. I mean, I know my dad knew how much we loved him, but, you know, when you're given that kind of word, you want to make sure you show them and you really just throw everything into it. So I remember asking him, well, how much time do you expect my dad to have? And he said, well, no more between 3 and 6 months if you're lucky. So my parents were living in New Mexico and we were living in California. So we came back home. We made, you know, the arrangements we needed to help my mom out while we came home, went to work. And every weekend we were going back to to be with my parents in New Mexico. So we were making, called them flying trips. We'd leave on, you know, Friday and come back on Sunday so everybody could be at work and school by Monday. After some time, it was just, you know, he was progressing, losing weight and just not looking well. And we put him in hospice and they put him in the hospital. And unfortunately, he passed. We were, I think, shocked because we were looking at 3 to 6 months, and this wasn't even 2 weeks that we were going through this. So we kind of felt, you know, cheated for one that he had lost his life, but because we just didn't feel we'd had enough time after getting that diagnosis. Then at my dad's service, my uncle came up, his brother, and said, you know, that's what your grandmother died from. She died from pancreatic cancer when you were just a little girl. And I remembered her kind of being sick, but again, you know, putting on a front. She did everything that grandmas did. She cooked and, you know, made cookies with us and mud pies and just, you know, was really a great grandmother. And, you know, losing her was had a big effect in, on us. And to hear that, you know, she'd been suffering from pancreatic cancer and not realizing what she was going through. And I didn't really know at that time how long she had been suffering, but I recently found a notebook of hers where she'd written that she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in October and she died November 3rd. So again, it was a very short time. After hearing that I'd lost my grandmother and my dad to pancreatic cancer, I asked my doctor, you know, what do I need to watch for? Do I need to be concerned? What about my family? And basically he just told me, don't worry about it, hun. For one, you're too young and it's not hereditary. You know, and that was kind of thinking after that. I didn't really think any more about it, unfortunately. And then when my uncle became ill in 2001, this is my dad's baby brother, became ill, and I became ill around the same time, but I had more stomach issues. My uncle really didn't tell me what his issues were, so I'm not really sure what he was experiencing, but he called me in January and said, hey, Squirt, I just got all my test results back from the doctor. I have pancreatic cancer. They're telling me to go home and put my affairs in order. There's nothing more they can do. It's spread. So it sounded just like what my dad, we'd gone through with my dad, and we tried talking, you know, is there, what about, you know, chemotherapy, surgery? And he said, no, the doctors are saying it's spread too far. There's nothing we can do. This was in January. My uncle was gone by February, mid-February. So again, it was a very short period of time. Again, I go back to my doctor, and I hadn't been feeling good for a while, but not really thinking much about it. You know, it was in October, flu season, and one of his suggestions were, you know, maybe you could be pregnant, but I knew that wasn't the case. I'd been pregnant before and didn't suffer from the same stomach issues I was having at that time. So I suggested maybe we should start doing some tests, and he was telling me, you know, we're good. It's, you know, not hereditary. Let's just wait and see what happens and give it some time and see how it plays out. So I waited for a bit and still wasn't feeling any better. So finally, I contacted him again and said, you know what, you know me, I'm not a hypochondriac. I don't complain about anything, but I'm really not feeling well. I'm not able to keep anything down. I'm losing a lot of weight, which, okay, maybe was a good thing, but not that way. And again, he was telling me, you know, it's not hereditary. You're too young, so let's not worry about pancreatic cancer. Let's just wait and see what happens. I decided I wasn't going to wait and see anymore. I saw what my dad went through. My dad was he was 6'1". He weighed 175 pounds. When he died, he was 70 pounds. He reminded me of the photos I'd seen of a Holocaust survivor. It was horrible. The pain I can remember my dad being in, the pain I watched my uncle go through. I just didn't want to see my family have to go through that. So I took out my checkbook, tore off a check, signed it, and just gave it to him and said, no, we need to start looking at something about pancreatic cancer. I'm really concerned. I think he did it just to shut me up, basically, because he really didn't believe it was pancreatic cancer. So we started with all the routine tests, you know, which, you know, blood work, CAT scans, MRIs, and finally they also did the EUS, which is the tube that goes down into the pancreas, took a sample of the pancreas, and then from that decided to do a needle biopsy. We did the needle biopsy. All the results were in. He had me come back to the office on April 1st, 2002. I saw the same look in his face that I saw in my dad's. He was looking at the floor, wasn't looking at me. He sat down, grabbed my hand, and said, I'm sorry, it is pancreatic cancer. And as you already know, because of your family situation, nobody survives. But what I can suggest is let's get started on some chemotherapy to give you some extra months with your family. But for now, you need to go home and get your house in order. It was kind of gut-wrenching to hear that. But at the same time, it angered me to hear that. Because I thought, you know, I've been trying to get you to do something for months, for years. And we were just passing it off. And was there something they could have done to see if that I was a candidate for pancreatic cancer at that time? Probably not. But just the emotions that were there thinking, you know, I've been talking to you about this for a while and now it's coming true was just kind of hard hitting. But at the same time, it also made me very stubborn to decide I'm not going to be the statistic that dies. I'm going to be the statistic that lives. And what really helped me, and I know it's not was not for me, but it was at that time. I went to my car, I turned on the engine and the radio came on. And Bob Marley is singing, "Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's going to be all right." I know it wasn't for me, but it really was. It just addressed me and it made me feel like he was telling me every little thing's going to be all right. And I decided from that moment, yeah, every little thing's going to be all right. It's not going to be an easy journey. It's not going to be a smooth road, but we're going to do it and we're going to get there. And we started chemo within a week.
Can you explain where the pancreas is?
Yes, unfortunately, it's a little hider, likes to hide. It is behind the stomach and in front of your spine. So that's why a lot of people, you'll hear them complain about backaches or maybe their side hurts. So a lot of times they'll think it's a kidney issue. It's only about 6 inches long, and it's a very important organ in that it produces the enzymes that helps break down our food and also the hormones for our sugar control. So it's a really important little organ, but it is very hard to detect pancreatic cancer because when they just feel around on your front side, they're not going to feel it because of where it lays. So it makes that type of diagnosis very difficult.
Well, was there a test specifically for pancreatic cancer?
No, and there still isn't. We have nothing. It's not like I can go in like, you know, for your yearly mammogram or your colonoscopy, or for men now they have their prostate, the PSA, that they can go in and get. We have nothing like that yet.
How are they able to diagnose it?
Basically, I almost want to say, unfortunately, it's by luck. We've had known some that have just gone in for just a routine, a physical, and it was found that way. Or they went into emergency for something, and they found it. But generally, all the tests are very invasive. There's no simple test just to diagnose pancreatic cancer.
So when you found out you were diagnosed with it, what did you do next?
Well, we started chemo right away. And so that was, you know, really a different change of life. I mean, I was working full time. I had two sons, one in high school and one in grade school. So it was very difficult. But the chemo, it was a hard road. It wasn't easy, even though it was better than probably chemos of years past. But it was still very difficult. And to be perfectly honest, there were times when I was doing the chemo that I really wondered, do I really want to continue doing this? Because it would, I don't want to say easier, but sometimes I felt like it would be better just to let the cancer take its course, just not to do anything.
Is there any idea how long you may have had the disease up to the point you were diagnosed?
No, but what they did mention with my dad is they were thinking that what they are seeing or finding in others, that it can be dormant for a very long time before whatever reason it decides to surface. We had asked, do you think my dad's accident, you know, caused it to come to the surface? And they said, no, they didn't believe it was from that. But that just from, I guess, the size and the way his tumor looked, it was probably there for a very long time before he developed symptoms.
And how are you able to survive this long? I'm grateful you're surviving, but how are you able to do this?
I'm very grateful, too. Thank you. My dad used to have a saying, the good Lord don't want you and the devil don't know what to do with you. So I don't know if that's part of it or just the stubbornness or just, again, I'm here for a different reason. I'm here for a reason, and my time just isn't up yet. I'm not done with whatever I believe. God, I'm not that religious, but I'm spiritual, and I do believe in God, that he has a plan for us all. Whatever his plan is, like I said, I'm in no hurry to rush him. I'm just fine, just continuing on doing whatever he wants me to do down here because I'm in no hurry to go anywhere. So I just want to say just, I don't know, God's help, my support from my family, support from friends that I've had, support from PanCan, other nonprofits that have been there for me. Just, I don't know, maybe just having the good cheering section I have and the support I have is what's keeping it all going.
Is pancreatic cancer painful?
Ironically, and when I was coming here, there's a song by Johnny Cash. It's called Ring of Fire. I always referred to my tumor as Ring of Fire because it was, for me, very painful. and still is at times. But with my mom, she had no pain at all. She had terrible itching, but no pain. I've met plenty of others that have no pain and others that have stomach pain or back or side pain. So it's such a unique cancer that it's different for everybody.
And you feel it where?
Right in the gut area. It's more off towards the left side, but it's like a burning. Sometimes it could be a burning. Sometimes just a painful area. And sometimes I do get it in my side area. So they have thought in the past that it's been maybe related to the kidney, but it didn't show anything.
So when people pass, do they pass from having pancreatic cancer, or do they pass because it's spread to other organs?
You know, it's some of them have passed because it is, you know, pancreatic cancer, because it has spread to other organs. But some people have also died because of the chemotherapy, to be quite honest with you. It's very tough on your organs, especially your heart. So there have been people that have died, yes, because of the pancreatic cancer, but most, and I hope this doesn't scare anybody from chemo, but because of the side effects and what chemo can do to your organs.
So is it dormant for you, or is it very much alive and you're just keeping it at bay?
Right now it's dormant, and it can stay that way for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because I changed some of my perspective as far as what I was doing. I began seeing a holistic doctor who changed, you know, supplements, vitamins, eliminating as much sugar as possible. I don't know if that's what it had to do with. That's just when I noticed it, and that was back in 2018 was my last chemo, was for December in 2018, and that's also when I made some changes. I believe it was during the summer of that same year I made some changes with what I was doing.
So right now you're trying to raise awareness for it, such as the PanCAN Early Detection Initiative. What's that?
I knew you were going to ask me, so I had to make a note so I don't get it all confused. The early detection of pancreatic cancer will lead to more treatments options, including the possibility of surgery, which very few pancreatic cancer patients are able to get. I believe it's only a small percentage, to remove the tumor, which would improve survival. But unfortunately, like I said, most patients are diagnosed with the disease after it has spread, which limits not only our treatment options, but also the need for surgery and also time with family and friends. PanCAN's early detection initiative will look at a certain group of people, those over 50, with new onset diabetes to determine if imaging at that stage of diabetes diagnosis could lead to earlier detection of pancreatic cancer. And I want to just shout this out, is Thursday, November 18th is World Pancreatic Cancer Day. And PanCAN is hosting an early detection and treatments webinar at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I would really encourage everybody to go and register. And they can register for that at pancan.org. That will answer a lot of questions, bring up questions. And if they have further questions from that, they can either go to the website or they can contact patient services at 877-2-PANCAN to answer any questions they may have in depth with this early initiative.
And finally, talk about Purple Stride, April 30th, 2022 in Huntington Beach.
Last year, because of the pandemic, we had to do a virtual Purple Stride, which was okay, which was great. I mean, at least we were still able to do something. I really recommend PanCAN for being able to pull something together, because it was really important to be able to do that. And we still need that connection. We still need to reach out to people and to survivors. So we did it virtually last year. But what they're doing now is our next Purple Stride will be April 30th, 2022. And the unique thing about this, it's going to be all approximately 59 affiliates coming together on that same day in their area. Like, we'll be in Huntington Beach. We have L.A. We have San Diego. We have almost every state will be having a Purple Stride on April 30th, 2022. So it's a great way to come out. Registration is free. So I encourage all people for Orange County, you can go to purplestride.org/OC. If you don't know where a Purple Stride is in your area, just go to purplestride.org and you'll be able to find something in your area to do.
Thank you, 19-year pancreatic cancer survivor Roberta Luna, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.